You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians. Little ones can be dismissed. I'm going to have them come out right before communion so they can be a part of that service. I think they should. Children need to be a part of it. Sometimes it's just difficult. It's just one of those days. It's difficult. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me because I need his help. Heavenly Father, I need you to strengthen me today and help me to share this message that we can all get something out of it and understand it mostly and be able to use it in all of our lives here today. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Title of the message is Our Union with Christ. It's interesting that we're having communion today. It's interesting how that this message that the Lord laid in my heart, I didn't even really look at the Sunday school lesson. Really didn't know what the lesson was going to be about. But after I sat under it, I realized how beautiful these messages mesh about God's forgiveness. We have all experienced God's forgiveness here today, or we wouldn't be here. Did you ever think of where you'd be today if you hadn't experienced God's forgiveness? Probably wouldn't be here today. Probably be out in the world serving sin. Sometimes we think that living as God desires us to sometimes seems to be very difficult. Hard sometimes to live for the Lord. There's so many things that in our culture is against that. Our culture certainly don't want you to live for the Lord. They live for themselves and for the things of this world. So I'm sure that many of you can relate to that. It's difficult sometimes living for the Lord. Trying to be a Christian in a non-godly world. There's times in our life it seems like we fail in more than we succeed. Sometimes it seems like we're going backwards instead of frontwards. As long as we live in this life, none of us will be totally free from sin. But I believe that we should have at least some victory over some wrong desires and some bad habits. Sometimes we just get bad habits. Some people have bad habits. Bad habits are hard to break. Good ones are hard to start. Last weekend, I did a wedding over at Huntington. At the reception, a young couple came over and sat with me. They had their first child. When I looked at the wife's coffee cup, I teased her. I said, they have counseling for that. She had one of the biggest coffee cups I've ever seen. I didn't realize that that's exactly what they were going through, was counseling. See, the Lord has strange ways to minister. Sometimes I open my big mouth, and for that purpose, it was right. It was on. It was okay. It was on key. Sometimes I just open my big mouth and it's never on key. But they had their first child. Do you remember when you had your first child? How many remember your first child? It's your turn. I did it yesterday. Remember having them conversations? It's your turn. Well, their marriage is a little frazzled right now. This little boy has frazzled him. And he asked me, Pastor, will the Lord hold it against me? I haven't gone to church in a while. Will he condemn me? Will he hold it against me? That's what he asked me. I said, dear heart, you even being concerned about it shows me that you love the Lord and he loves you. Because if you weren't worried about it, you wouldn't even ask that question. So in your asking, has already told me that God loves you and he forgives you. But I'll bet your marriage started having problems when you stopped going to church. Is that right? They looked at one another and said, he's right. So I said, when you find it, time, you need to get back to church. Because God loves you and those people in the church love you too. And they can help you. They can pray with you. And they'll help you. You need to get back to church as soon as you can. While we're living here, we'll never be totally free from sin. That's sure and certain. But the Bible offers us great hope in this area. And it's found in one of the most popular verses I suppose there is. Apart from John 3:16, I think this is probably right up there among the top 10. Galatians 2:20, you know how I remember this? I'm going to help you to remember it. How many of you are familiar with electricity? To know that you can grab a hold of a 110 in a certain way and you're okay. You understand that? Lance, you know that. Huh? What happens when you get a hold of a 220? You know how I remember? Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified. Okay, now you know. Now that's an easy way. I have to do stuff like that to help remind me how to remember stuff. So that's my association. 220, you're crucified. And you and I are all crucified. And we're crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. He gave himself up for me. Now, I just read a scripture that helps you to understand our union with Jesus. But before we can appreciate what our Lord has done for us, we have to realize that because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, every human that enters this world enters with a sin nature. That's why babies, yes, cute and cuddly as they are, they seem so innocent. But they are quick to learn the word that most often characterizes humanity's reaction when God demands obedience. And what's that word? No. Didn't have to teach the little one that one, did you? They understand that. As innocent and as little as they, and when it's probably one of the first things that comes out of their mouth apart from mommy or daddy. No. We're born into this world like that. We have a sin nature. Jesus is the only one who can remedy this situation. The first benefit that we have of our union with Christ is that we've been crucified with him. I have four benefits for you. And the first one is our union with Christ. Our sins were placed on Jesus when he hung on the cross. And he bared the penalty that you and I deserved. It was as if we were also nailed to the cross and died with him that day, even though we weren't even born yet. The Apostle Paul describes it this way. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Through Christ, our sins are forgiven and we have been declared righteous. Right along with your lesson, Mike. We're declared righteous. We're not righteous. We can't do anything in our own selves to be declared righteous. We do good things. We try to live for the Lord. But our righteousness, no matter how hard you work at it, is as filthy rags. Do you understand that? We can't purchase. We can't buy our own righteousness. He gives us his righteousness. That's how you can be righteous today, because it's his righteousness that makes you righteous. You understand that? Even though today, because we're forgiven, our guilt's been removed, we still battle sin. We still battle it. I believe it's Romans chapter 7 is the chapter where Paul talks about that battle. The battle we have with the flesh. The flesh. That's this body right here. Are you in there? Hello. Didn't want to get up this morning, did you? No, we would rather slept in bed. I'll be quiet. The flesh I'm talking about. The body that doesn't want to serve the Lord. I, by faith, serve him. But this body don't want to do that. This body would rather do anything else but serve the Lord. As soon as I get down on my knees to pray, he says, you shouldn't be on your knees. Your knees hurt. Oh, shut up. Talking about our body. Paul said, I learned to bring my body under subjection. Is your body under subjection? Or are you letting the body rule? Is the body ruling you today? We know we're saved, but we still obey God, even when we have this desire to live righteously. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We still live in these human bodies which are prone to sin. Paul calls it our flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Galatians 5 and 17. But I can tell you that Jesus has not left us here to just hopelessly just flounder about. He's done more than that. The second benefit that we have when we're in union with Christ is that our old self was, Galatians 2:20, what's the word? Crucified. Everybody say crucified. Crucified. The old self was crucified with him on the cross, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, Romans 6:6. We have his power, the Holy Spirit. Remember, he said to the disciples, I have to go. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. But I must go. So the Holy Spirit will come. And he will what? Lead and guide you into all truth. So when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. And when you accept him as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is in residence there. So that when you say things, go places you shouldn't go, you're not comfortable anymore. Because you have a new nature. The Holy Spirit is living in your body now. The flesh is now, the Holy Spirit's living in here. Keeping me in check. Things I say, places I go. I don't like to go to those places anymore. I feel differently than I did in those days. I have no desire to be there anymore. You ever been in a place where you've been there, maybe spent maybe a half an hour or so, and you said, come on, honey, we don't belong here no more. We don't belong here no more. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to talk to you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. We have his power to help us overcome these fleshly desires. Our baptism into his death is followed by being raised with him. The Bible says in verse 4 of Romans chapter 6, we are raised with him to walk in newness of life. We're a new creation. We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Remember reading that? Did you know you have a new self? You have been created in the very likeness of God to be holy and righteous, Ephesians chapter 4 and 24. Your old self has been crucified with Christ, and God has given you a new nature. That's why he says that you are a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's not that your body's new, huh? Just take a look in the mirror. You'll see it's aging a little. Body's still aging, but I have a new body, and I'm going to enjoy my new body someday, and it won't have pain. It won't have sorrow. It won't be achy. It won't be hard to get around with. I'll have a new body. The old thing, the old body will be passed away, and I'm going to have a new body. God is going to give each and every one of you a new body, but that'll only happen in the resurrection, when we get our new body and it'll become perfect and holy. But right now, we're existing in this body. The Holy Spirit and Jesus is living here. He's in residence here. And that's why there's a conflict going on. But you see, even in this, Jesus can give us a victory. Thirdly, our union with Christ is his life in us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Wow. It doesn't mean that we cease from being ourselves, but Jesus' life flows through us like sap through a branch. We've reached a point of time in this season where the sap is leaving the trees and the leaves are beginning to show their beautiful colors. The sap is leaving the tree. What would happen if the sap didn't leave the tree? Does anybody know? Petey would know. If the sap didn't leave the tree, what would happen? When the frost and freeze comes, wouldn't it just burst the tree asunder? Is that possible? Must be. God uniquely has designed everything to work in an order, in a beautiful order. It's precious how he works. Even in creation, you can see his workings. Even so much so more in our own lives. He gives us new thoughts and desires that are in alignment with his will, and he empowers us with his supernatural Holy Spirit to help us to obey him. And we realize it isn't about self-effort, but it's self-replacement, a new nature, a new creature. And we'll experience victory over the sins that have dogged us perhaps for many years and so long. In Galatians 2:20 again, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself up for me. We were saved by faith in Christ. It is faith in him that we're able to put to death the deeds of the flesh and to be able to live in the newness of life. Our Lord's done so much for us. We in turn need to live for him and not for ourselves. He has provided everything we need to have a holy life. If we will believe and act on what he has said in his precious word, and we're reaching a time of year where the next month, we're thinking about Thanksgiving. But you know what? Thanksgiving should be every day. We should be thankful and in great gratitude of the wonderful love that the Lord has given to us. He has given us everything we need to live a holy and life that's pleasing. He's given it all for us. Just don't let this fellow inside here get the best of you. Yeah, I know. You can take a nap this afternoon. Shut up. I know it's comical, but this is what I'm talking about. It's our flesh. It's our flesh. And whenever you want to do something for the Lord, the flesh always gets in the way, constantly. Because the flesh is at enmity against the Spirit. It's constantly against the Spirit. That's why you must put an effort to serve the Lord. You must put forth an effort. You're here today. Wouldn't it have been a nice morning to sleep in with that patter of the rain? Oh, it would have been. But then I'd have missed my fellowship with you all, my family. Sunday's just different without fellowship. It's different without being with my loved ones, my family. I miss it. There was a time in my life I didn't miss it. But like the couple that's in council, they're realizing it. They're realizing it. And it's I'm so grateful that they're realizing it, because they're the ones that need to realize it. I can preach all I want to preach, but until those people really get it and understand it, you know, then you really can serve the Lord. Then you're ready to serve the Lord no matter where you're at, no matter what house of worship you choose to worship. But we got it. And now our kids got to get it. And I know you're sitting here thinking, oh boy, I wish I'd have stayed home today. I know. I was young once too. But I can tell you, one day you'll get it. You'll get it one day. When you're starting to have a family of your own, and everything seems to be going the wrong direction, and you thought you had it all figured out, you'll get it. You'll get it. And these old, I won't say that, old geezers, old geezers, might not have been so wrong. They're here because they love the Lord, and they love you. And they want the best for you. And that's why they drug you along to church. I'm glad my parents drug me to church sometimes, because I need to be drugged to church. I didn't always want to go, but I can tell you I'm glad they did what they did. They loved me, and they wanted the best for me. And they want the best for you. And I hope this message resonates with you and you don't ever forget it. Put it up here. Put it right up there.